Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Mark Menard, as usual, post at Master Control. Repping the Pelicans and the Saints. The Saints visor and the Pelicans shirt. I believe that's a Pelicans shirt, right? Yeah, it is. All right.
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay, my vision's bad then.
This is a replica of Fox Mulder's I Want to Believe poster from
the
X-Files.
That's a Pelicans. For all intents and purposes, this is radio. No, I'm kidding.
No, it looks like a flying saucer. Is that right?
That's what it is. It's a flying saucer.
Okay, yeah.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Our LSU hour coming up at 5 o'clock. Pelicans primer with Mark Menard at 4:35. And, of course, our Saints hour at 7 o'clock with Jim Zocchi, Panthers radio color analyst, and also Saints All-Pro defensive end Cam Jordan. First, though, I got to get in perspective. I got to get perspective from Bobby Hebert about this LSU defense. I mean, is this a championship caliber defense? No. Will it prevent them from winning a national championship? I start to wonder. How concerned are you about LSU's defense? That is our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Very, somewhat, not concerned at all. 504-260-1870, text 870-870.
I would say somewhat concerned, particularly, you know, it's amazing how a tale of two halves and how, the defense wasn't ready to play. They were still thinking about the victory in Alabama. I don't think that was the case. They were ready to play. It was the second half. It wasn't the first half. So that's why it was somewhat puzzling. But again, going forward, I think it's going to make a difference, and hopefully he's in the fold. Michael Divinity, the linebacker. Now, I don't know. Christian, when is he playing? I know he's back on the team. So that's a good sign. The reason why I say that, even though he was absent the past 2 weeks from the team, he still leads LSU in sacks. Now, it's only three, but he still has that kind of influence. Now, with that being said, if LSU's defense, you can have the ball last and you can win, but that's kind of a flip a coin 50-50. Against Georgia and Ohio State, that would not be a good formula. You'd want
– Nor for Clemson either.
Yeah, Clemson, exactly. You look at all of those teams. When you're playing playoff football, when you're talking about the Final Four, now you look at Georgia's structure, it's kind of a Les Miles team. They're going to – Georgia's stout on defense. Boy, if we had LSU's offense and Georgia's defense, I guarantee a national championship right now. But, listen, no excuse. Georgia's offense should be way better. They have an NFL quarterback in Fromm. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't play like an NFL quarterback against South Carolina in the game they lost. But then you look at Clemson. They're going to be able to handle the big stage, obviously. And then Ohio State is Ohio State. So it's not going to be easy. So that's why he's, we beat Alabama. No, season's not over. We got so much to play for, but it's going to be a big challenge.
Bobby, you like numbers. LSU is 33rd in rushing defense, 47th in total defense. ULL, by the way, is 38th. 20th in third down defense, 44th in scoring defense, tied for 20th in red zone defense, tied for 32 in giveaways at plus four. I mean, that's not typical LSU defense.
Typical. I mean, Christian, if you were watching the game almost and then you might want to go away from the game, but what happened in the second half, you couldn't. But Ole Miss had 614 total yards. Now, I know number one rushing attack in the SEC, but you look at total yards. It's like a video game, Christian. Mm-hmm. LSU has 714. They have 614. When all of a sudden you look third highest total in SEC between two teams in SEC teams league history, 1,328 yards.
I don't think I've ever watched a game with that much total offense.
Unless you watch it maybe late at night, Oregon.
Right. I don't typically stay up for those matchups.
Right. Where the shootout, 1,000 yards of offense. Now, you know, it was crazy to show you how it was not a slugfest is that we didn't even acknowledge – Clyde Edwards-Helaire, no one even noticed he ran for 172 yards. What? 172 yards. Christian, you excited to have a back? Well, we got a running back over 100 yards.
Right.
172 yards, and you're not even talking about him.
And it was John Rhys Plumlee that kind of got all the headlines. I mean, he gashed LSU's defense.
But, you know,
could it be, Bobby, let me ask you this. You played at that level and higher. If you're scouting an opponent, if you're watching them on film, yeah, I'm sure you can recognize that they're fast, right?
Right.
But then you get on the field with them and realize that, oh, this guy's faster than it shows on
film.
Oh,
without a doubt. Without a doubt. You think you have
Therefore, you're taking bad angles.
Well, you think you have the angle, but you don't have the angle. No, I can tell you this could bode well for Ole Miss, and I can't wait to talk to Deuce about this going forward with Rich Rod running their offense, and that's the kind of quarterback he wants. Now he has to stay healthy, but Christian, you know what? He'll never be. I mean, they have a passing down; they don't even let him pass the ball. They take him out. But the
you
point
know where he would go in the NFL though?
No,
slot receiver.
Like Julian Edelman. Uh-huh. Julian Edelman was a college quarterback. Plumlee could be the same thing. That's exactly what I saw there. Get his hands on the ball, and you get him in space. But, Christian, that's why, and I said this earlier, we did HTV, we did that, Sports on the Bayou show. And I think Coach O took the right approach. You know, you have to know when to pick and choose how you deal with your team and the players. And what I mean by that, you know, if you want to truly be a coach and you think that's going to be your profession, I don't know what I'm going to school for. You know, young kids, I don't know what I want to do. I'm going to go in business. What the hell that means? Yeah, business. whatever you're trying to get a degree in. I'm telling you, major in psychology. I'm not saying you got to be a psychiatrist, but how you have to deal with different individuals and different circumstances of what your team is facing. So with Coach O, listen, Patrick Queen and all them, Delphi, they all got embarrassed. I mean, come on. Tell the truth Monday? Oh, hello. And you watch it. So you got to say, okay, look, we all right. We're going to be all right. This is what we got to do. You know, at a bad angle. So you have to know, and Christian always said this. Remember when I told you when I talked to certain players, like a Stan Brock, I'd have to chew them out. Come on, you're getting your butt whipped. And you say a few other choice words and, kind of to get them fired up. Where other guys, if you said that, they would play worse. And where you almost have to say, come on, you can do it. Keep fighting. You got to get it done. And then, so that's the approach. But, you know, it's a crazy to show you how small we are kind of right now at LSU. And it's amazing. Again, Vegas gets it right. Wasn't it a push? Wasn't LSU a 21-point favorite? What did the game finish?
They won by 21.
Now, the way it occurred, you're like, man, that's an ugly 21.
Right.
Three-touchdown point victory. So that's why I think Coach O is putting in the right perspective. And I'm going to leave you with this right now. The Tigers ran their record to 10-0 in just the fourth time in school history. Okay, school history, Chris, you got to go back to 1908 before World War I, 1958 with Billy Cannon, and 2011. That special season, but we didn't win anything. So only, Christian, four times in school history LSU's been 10-0.
Coach O might be in line for a pay raise, but that defense, could it be a fatal flaw? You told me at 504-260-1870, text 870-870.
Hey, Christian, everybody got to blame somebody. Oh, no, but we paying Dave Aranda $2.5 million. So, yeah, the coach got to be the fall guy and obviously get the players in the right position.
But his track record ultimately is successful.
Who doesn't want Dave Aranda around? Come on.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Sports Talk continues here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Text here at 870-870. I think this was LSU's wake-up call against Ole Miss. Really? Because that LSU defense has been leaky all year long. Let's just be honest. It wasn't just Ole Miss. They struggled against Vanderbilt and others, Bobby.
Well, yeah, that's why you got to keep in right perspective. Now, the offense against Vanderbilt, they actually gave up a couple of touchdowns, but it's still a scoring defense. Or points against, but you look at LSU's 66-38 win over Vanderbilt. Then you look at the Ole Miss game. That makes four games now in which LSU has surrendered more than 35 points this season. We remember these days. That's the most since such games. So you got to go back to 1998 and Gary DiNardo. We don't want to go back there. The Tigers were 4-7. So it's a, you know, but you know why we're not even, come on. We're going to be national champs or have an opportunity. It's because our offense is so prolific. But it is not championship defense, what we used to. I think deep down in the South, we love snot bubble, hardcore defenses. Well, right now, it's not necessarily the case. And it could come a case in point where defensively you rely too much on your offense. Oh, the offense is going to bail us out. Or don't worry, we got come on, Joe Burrow. We got the ball last week, going to win. No, then you flip a coin. Then it's a 50-50 ordeal. I told you, when I was playing with the Saints, I'm looking at the 80s, we had the Dawn Patrol. I was trying to just like, okay, I'm trying to do my job because I know our defense is doing their job and the Dawn Patrol. So you talk about like winning games and all that. So right now where we add defensively, coming out after that Ole Miss game, that's not a confidence builder to say the least. But Arkansas is so sorry. I mean, it's like an SEC game. LSU's a 44 or like what 44 to 46 somewhere on there, 44 to point favorite. Come on, that is ridiculous. Now, with that being said, okay, so let's say you get your swagger back, and I think LSU's defense got their swagger back. You remember they were going against potentially. We talked to Mike Dettelier, a number one potential prospect, first round draft pick in the NFL, and the Utah State quarterback. LSU shut them down. Chris, off the top of my head, what did they have, 160, 170 yards?
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. But then you got to build upon that. It's been too much like a roller coaster.
And they shut down Pirine at Florida, the running back.
Yeah, with Pirine. But they didn't really listen, their quarterback had a bum knee. His knee didn't look bum to me. I think it helped, Auburn having a freshman quarterback. No, it's going to be a much bigger challenge against a seasoned quarterback like Jake Fromm, NFL prospect for
Lawrence.
Georgia. And then Fields with Ohio State, Trevor Lawrence. So it ain't getting any easier. We need our great players to play great, and you need your good players to be steady. That's why I'm like, hell yeah, Michael Divinity, come on. We need you. You know who needs to step up too? Because we've given him all the praise, Chaseon. I mean, Christian, he sometimes, dude, you're not that good yet. You can't be out of position, taking the wrong angle. It's like a handful of times.
And you wear number 18, the coveted 18 jersey.
No, he got smoked. He's getting smoked. So a lot of pressure on him. We need him to play great, big time down the stretch, and to potentially be national champs.
Longshoreman and Slidell. Go ahead, Longshoreman. Do you think LSU's defense will be their fatal flaw?
Oh, God, don't ask me about LSU, Christian, please.
All right.
I grew up in Mississippi, man.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know what? Come on, man. You got to give those guys a break. Look, they're 10-0. I mean, come on.
Right, 10-0. That's true.
Yeah, but
on,
we,
LSU,
I get that, but
come
below Shoreman.
Stop your bitching.
But wait, hold on a second. No, but if you look at what awaits potentially this team, a showdown with Ohio State or one upcoming against Georgia in a possible SEC championship game, or Ohio State in the playoffs, or Clemson in the playoffs, I mean, it's concerning.
Longshoreman, I told Christian to quit your bitching because it's like four times in LSU history they 10-0.
Hey, Mark, pardon my French, Mark. I'm sorry. I apologize, brother. Forgive me for that. Only Bobby can do that on the radio. But look, as far as the Saints, man, I want to tip my hat to the O-line and also the defensive front. But the O-line came back around, and that's why – When they play like that, you know, we can lay to rest all this talk about, we need to put Teddy Bridgewater back in. Look, I love Teddy Bridgewater. I love me some Teddy Bridgewater. But when you protect Drew Brees, he will carve up any secondary in the league. But I want to tip my hat to the defense, too, because, Bobby, look at the pressure that we put on Jameis Winston.
Without a doubt. Well, we got after Jameis Winston, and we got the bad Winston, and that's what we needed. And, you know, that was dominant football. And under Sean Payton, I say this all the time. Boy, when we listen, the trifecta, when we force three turnovers, we don't lose. When we don't turn over the ball, we don't lose. When we hold a defense, opposing offense scoring even 20 points or less, we don't lose. This is like a track record of like 13 seasons. It's amazing. I know it's hard to hit on that. Boy, but at times if you hit two out of those three. But Longshoreman, I tell you what, it's going to be a challenge. Guess who's number one in sacks in the NFL going into this weekend?
Panthers.
Carolina Panthers. So, again, we got a challenged offensive line. That's why I say Easton. Okay, we cashed in that insurance policy like we did with Bridgewater, and we did it with you, and now you stepped up big time considering you're going against Vita Vea, Dominican Sue, all in the middle. So now, it don't get easier, it's the NFL. We need Easton. I don't know Andrew Speak with broken arm and all that. Don't we need him to kick ass about a month, month and a half? Come on, then we high-fiving him. We like to say money well spent.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Pelicans Primer next with Mark Menard here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian, we welcome in now Mark Menard, part of our WWL sports team for our Pelicans Primer, sponsored by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why, we know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Trailblazers up next for the Pels, Mark.
Trailblazers tonight in the Smoothie King Center. And look, Portland's not doing that well this season either. They are 5-9 on the year and 4-5 away from home. So the Pelicans sitting at 4-9, this is a winnable game for them. Now, the one thing that the Trailblazers have in their favor maybe is that we're going to see the Portland debut tonight of Carmelo Anthony. He just recently signed with the team, and he's expected to make his debut for the team tonight. But the last time a big name made a debut in front of the Pelicans, it was Paul George, and the Pelicans got a win in that game. So that doesn't necessarily mean that Portland's going to come out with all guns blazing all of a sudden just because they have Carmelo Anthony. Because also, Carmelo Anthony is not Paul George, not at this stage in his career. It remains to be seen what he's even going to give Portland in terms of his ability, but I guess we'll find out tonight.
Now, Mark, I'm going to lean upon you, looking at Damian Lillard with the Trailblazers. Who's the other cat that starts with an M?
C.J. McCollum.
No, he has struggled. And that is interesting because that guy's a stud, but he has struggled. Look at the Denver Nuggets, struggled at the beginning. You know, you never know year to year, but that's why, you know, it's such a long season that we might be catching the Trailblazers at the right time.
We might, and we're also expecting to hopefully get Brandon Ingram back tonight. That would be a big boost for the Pelicans. They got J.J. Redick back against the Warriors the other night. They're going to get Brandon Ingram hopefully back tonight. Derek Favors and Josh Hart have also already been ruled out. Jahlil Okafor is doubtful, so we probably won't see him either. But along with Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Frank Jackson both listed as questionable. So the Pelicans could be kind of getting a little healthier here. But we'll have to wait until a little closer to game time to find out about those other dudes.
What's the timetable and status of Zion Williamson and his return?
They've been kind of mum about Zion Williamson, but originally, you know, we heard 6 to 8 weeks, and that was, you know, the middle of October. So we're probably about halfway there, maybe close to that 6 week mark. We're about halfway to that 8 week mark. So maybe in the next couple of weeks we start seeing him.
December.
Yeah,
we've always 2020.
Well,
a ring in the new year with Zion.
We've always looked at like maybe mid-December he might get back, but I don't know. I mean, they might decide to hold him until January. We'll have to wait and see. But like I said, originally they said 6 to 8 weeks. They haven't really updated that at all since then.
Mark, when you look over the next handful of games, how does the schedule break down, and are they winnable?
Well, I think the game tonight is definitely winnable because, like we said earlier, they're kind of catching Portland at the right time here. Portland has not been lighting the world on fire. And remember, Portland is also the team that the Pelicans swept right out of the playoffs a couple of years ago. So I know the team is different, but they've kind of traditionally matched up well with Portland. And after Portland, they have a three-game road trip starting Thursday in Phoenix. I think the Suns, while they are playing better, that should be a winnable game. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but that's a game that they shouldn't be blown out of the state, out of the arena by the Phoenix Suns. Then they go to Utah to play the Jazz and LA to play the Clippers. Those two considerably tougher. So hopefully they can string a couple of wins together here. You know, they won against Golden State, and then hopefully they'll if they can get a couple more wins here, they get three in a row, and then you got a little bit of a cushion maybe heading into those Utah and Clippers games.
About 8 days, you welcome in AD and the Lakers to the Smoothie King.
That is correct, and I'm assuming he'll have the traditional warm welcome you would expect from the New Orleans crowd. You know, AD is kind of persona non grata here for the past year and a half almost since he requested that trade, and I believe that game's been sold out for a while. And you would hope that, you know, the Pelicans are close to full strength by the time that happens. That'll be November 27th. So we'll be looking at, you know, maybe right around that six-week mark for Zion. I don't know if he'll be able to play in that game, but you would love to see him, you know, maybe make his debut on the night that Anthony Davis returns to the Pelicans. It might be a little bit too storybook. I don't know if he'll be ready yet. But certainly you hope the rest of the team can get healthy in time for that one.
Well, after the first game that they got smacked by the Clippers, I've been impressed with the Lakers overall where they're at right now. And I don't like to say that, but the truth be told.
Yep, you have to call it like
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, right. So I can't hate too much. But you know what's amazing when you look at the stud players or star players? I was looking at, like, highlights and stuff, looking at, like, why would I look at this? But I guess because it's the NBA and you look at sports. I'm looking at Brooklyn. And then, you know, Kevin Durant, we know he's not available. Then Kyrie Irving was not available. You know who's a blue-collar team that's going to win? I don't know if they're going to win anything, but I know they're going to win a bunch of games and they're going to be in the hunt, is the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are one of those teams that, Christian, they never are going to be amongst the best, maybe amongst the elite, but they're not going to be amongst the worst. They crush the Nets. You know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant sitting out there, but it wasn't even close. And the reason why I bring that up, because from a personal reason, Malcolm Brogdon, he leaves the Milwaukee Bucks. He goes to the Pacers. Boy, and I was so proud of him. He got like a four-year deal, $44 million, you know, $11 million a season. It's all guaranteed. And I know this kid from like when he was 11, 12 years old, and I am so proud of him. And he is almost playing. He's undervalued. He's playing like a max player for the Pacers, what he's contributed so far this season.
That's a wrap for Pelicans Primer, sponsored by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Mark Menard, great job as always. Back to the phones we go. Larry in Houston, Texas. What's going on, Larry? You're on WWL.
Hey, thanks for taking my calls, fellas.
Hey, Larry.
These LSU fans are worse than my wife, man. They complain when they don't have a defense. They complain when they ain't got an offense. Nah, they got an offense. They want, and I'm not worried about the defense.
So wait,
man.
So Larry, you said they like your wife. When the hell your wife's complaining, man, about you? She told you to get a gallon of milk and you forgot, or what?
Oh man, when I got out of the military, I got to start driving trucks. So you be on the road too much. I came home.
Well, I
got
to work. Come on, honey.
Yeah, but look, I go ahead and get my own company, and I'm on the road more because now I got to bring the money in. She still complains, so I go ahead and take a week off.
Larry, thanks for your service, man.
Stay home. All right, get home and stay home a week. Oh, you got to get out the house. You work getting on my nerves. Oh,
boy,
come on,
you damned if you do, and you damned if you don't. You can't win, Larry. Man, I feel bad for you, but so what do you think about the Tigers going forward? I mean, are you optimistic or what?
Oh, they're going to be all right, man. The defense, I mean, you got to understand. To me, Mississippi playing like a, I want to say like an Air Force, one of the Air Force Army defense with better, offense with better athletes. That guy, man, they talk about white men can't jump. White ball could run. That ball fast.
He can fly. He was flying. He was like almost a modern-day version, because we witnessed this, Julian Edelman, Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm. I was watching the game, saying that out loud. I was like, he doesn't have a future in the NFL as a quarterback, but some offensive coordinator like Sean Payton or somebody that knows how to use that weapon, they'll turn him into a receiver or some sort of weapon at the next level.
Now, the thing is, he's not as big as Taysom Hill, because Taysom Hill could flat out run out. Now, you know what? You know what's crazy, though? Now we brought up Taysom Hill. That might have been Taysom's poorest game in a Saints uniform last week against the Bucks. You remember when he took that sack? And overall, we consider anytime you involve Taysom Hill, like it might be a handful of plays, it's always a positive. Well, not necessarily against the Bucs this past game. It was a few minuses.
Yeah, but he picked up a crucial third down
late
in the game.
But what I'm saying overall,
yeah,
we expect Taysom Hill to kick ass every play.
Well, I think that's an unfair expectation.
But unfair expectation, LSU's defense maybe. Huh?
I mean, to a degree, but the concern for me is this wasn't just one game that they've had a leaky defense. All right, this is four games we're talking about where they haven't necessarily looked very good. And the numbers bear it out. I talked about it. I told you earlier.
Well, scoring defense, yeah, overall. Yeah, that's but I don't know. The way the game has changed, Christian. Listen, I'm an old fart, and you have to realize that you're getting older, too, and the game maybe has changed, and you're not going to have – now, you can still have 17-13 type games, but it might be all of a sudden that you're still one of the best teams, and it might be 42-37.
No, I appreciate that because the spread offense has been so commonplace, and offense in general has improved in college football over the last 10 years immensely because of the high school 7-on-7 passing leagues that these guys get involved in and the way they're coached in college.
Well, the only thing I can tell you, and I'm not, get off my lawn, an old man. People say, all right, man, what the hell are you talking about? No, let me tell you what I'm talking about. All this new offenses, that RPO and all that, you know why it's going to work in the future? Because of the rules in general. You think old school they had helmet to helmet, all them kind of rules? They didn't have no freaking helmet to helmet, any kind of protect the quarterback. That's why, listen, you know who's coming at the right time? Who's the number one player right now? He's going to be the MVP in the NFL. Who? Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. I would like to see Michael Vick right now. Hello? I think
was
Lamar.
Was he as accurate as Lamar?
Hell yeah. But yeah, accurate for sure. They would knock the crap out of Michael Vick. Let me tell you, Michael Vick, I think RG3, rookie of the year with the Redskins, but he got hurt. Going forward, how they protecting the quarterbacks, you're going to see more Lamar Jackson types. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
That's the way the game has changed. So all I'm saying right now, the way the game has changed and how they're protecting the quarterbacks, you're going to see those
mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, mobile quarterbacks and that type of scoring.
You're still going to
they're not going to knock the crap out of the quarterback.
You're still going to have to pass from the pocket and make plays from the pocket. But
every now and then, yes.
But you're also going to see the in vogue thing is going to be if you've got mobility, it's even valued even more.
Oh, Lamar, let me tell you, right now, the Ravens. I like the Ravens a lot in the AFC.
I did my power rankings today. I got them number one in the league.
Oh, hello, Christian. Come on, K-Dog. Number one.
They're the number one team in the league.
I like the way I'm a John Harbaugh fan. I know Jim and John Harbaugh. I go back to my Michigan Panther days when Jim Harbaugh was at University of Michigan. Yeah. You know, you meet the family and all that. But Jim Harbaugh is a little more emotional like me, not necessarily a good thing at times. And John Harbaugh is more stable. I think John Harbaugh's had more success because of that. Look what John Harbaugh
level-headed.
What John Harbaugh has done with the Ravens. You know, it's about stability. You know, it's always 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired. I know the Ravens are keeping their coach.
Rightfully so. He's probably one of the more underrated coaches in the National Football League.
He might be the most underrated coach out of all, like the Sean Paytons. Whoever you might think, what's sexy, what's the latest flavor and all that. No, John Harbaugh is old school, new school. He is that good, and how he's that flexible. What he's done with the Ravens.
Speaking of coaches, I want to bounce this off of you. We're getting a little off subject, but whatever.
Yeah. So,
John Gruden has the Raiders at 6-4. Isn't he in the conversation for Coach of the Year?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, John Gruden's done an outstanding job. I think Coach O's the Coach of the Year in college football. John Gruden, considering all the adversity and what happened in training camp in the offseason, you got to give John Gruden credit. And that's good.
And Mike Mayock.
Mike Mayock, that whole organization, all that adversity and how you weather the storm, and what do you do going forward?
And let's face it, that roster isn't just loaded with talent either.
I think it's great for the NFL. I want the Raiders to kick ass. You know why? Because I want the atmosphere to be unbelievable in Las Vegas. The Raiders are great, and you go visit what?
And you're in Las Vegas?
No. The sky's the limit. It could be unbelievable if the Raiders are truly relevant amongst the best and they're playing in Las Vegas.
Coming back for Shane and Slidell and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. How concerned are you about LSU's defense? That is our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Coming up, our LSU hour. In the 5 o'clock hour, you'll hear from LSU coach Ed Ogeron. Shane and Slidell, what's going on, Shane? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, how you guys doing? All right, Bobby, before you jump on me, just let me
I'm not going to jump on you. Come on, Shane.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, all right. I believe that LSU's defense is their Achilles heel because they've given up entirely too much. No other LSU defense in the past has been this, you know, inconsistent.
I agree with that. I agree with you, Shane.
Hold on, Bobby. Hold on, Bobby. Let me finish.
I agree with you.
I do believe that LSU can win the national championship. But it won't be through Joe Burrow. I think it's going to be that number 22 is a phenomenal running back. And he has to have at least 26-plus touches a game.
Hey,
he
listen, you're right.
He's a modern-day Ricky Waters, I'm telling you. And you can't get away with that with Ohio State, Clemson, or Georgia.
I can tell you right now, Shane, that Coach Ensminger – and Joe Brady, they're definitely aware of that, and he will get his touches. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has earned that right, and you bring up Waters, you know, Notre Dame, a running back that went to the 49ers.
Darren Sproles.
No, he's bigger than he got way more lead in the pencil than Darren Sproles. He's more like Mark Ingram. Let me tell you why. Because first, second, third down, you can keep him in there to pass protect. You're not always leaking him out. Do you know who you're blocking, and can you block him? He could do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, let me tell you, I am not worried that we're going to be talking in any post game going forward, SEC championship, playoffs and all that, that, oh, well, Edwards-Helaire, he didn't touch the ball enough. No, let me tell you right now, that is not going to happen with Joe Brady and Coach Ensminger. It won't happen. Shane, I'm just telling you that they well aware and everyone's aware of his significant impact.
Shane, thanks for the phone call. I'll carry over Stan and Don and you two next hour at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.